Our scripture reading for this morning is the lectionary reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. If you wish to, I invite you to follow along in your pew Bibles. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. May God bless this reading of his holy word to our hearts and minds this day. Amen. Please be seated. Won't you join with me in prayer? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this weekend of the presidential inauguration, I'd like to share a story with you about my favorite president, which was Abraham Lincoln. I feel like I mentioned Lincoln last Sunday. I must be on a roll with thinking about him, and so I just offer this to you as something I would like to share today. The story goes that during the horrible time of the Civil War, Lincoln occasionally would visit a Presbyterian church. He would slip in to this church through a side entrance with an aide and then slip out early from the service, just not wanting to be noticed. Well, there was one Sunday morning where he lingered a little longer than usual. All the worshipers had left. He was sitting in silence in this private corner that he had, and one of his aides, in order to break the silence, said to him, "Well, Mr. President, what did you think of the sermon today?" Lincoln thought carefully, and then he responded, "Well, it was eloquent. It was compelling. It was well thought out." The aide said, "Well, did you like it?" And Mr. Lincoln said, "No, it failed to ask something great of us." So when was the last time you felt that something great was asked of you? When was the last time you felt you needed to move forward, to step up, to be counted? When was the last time you felt so passionate about something in your heart that you knew it took all the strength you could muster and all the wherewithal you had to rise to the occasion? You knew that occasion demanded more of you than you ever thought possible, than you ever dreamed possible. When was the last time? And when was the last time you felt so tired, so spent, so depleted, but so good? Because you had an incredible experience, an unbelievable experience where you felt you were making a lasting difference in the world. Jesus asks great things of us. I think throughout our lives, we are supposed to be exploring just what is the nature of that great, you know, that Jesus asks of us. What's more, Jesus is direct, tells it like it is, no holds barred. He has that approach. I mean, we hear that. We hear that today in our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew about the call of the first disciples. And we can just see it as something that happened long ago. That just had to do with the disciples. We could say to ourselves, however, is not the Bible a living word? Is not the Bible meant to be heard within the context of our own lives? And aren't we supposed to grapple with what it means for us in a living, breathing, kind of organic way, in a day-to-day way in which we constantly allow it to work on us? I think so. So what does it mean within the context of our lives that Jesus' command to the disciples was, drop your nets, stop what you are doing. There's something else that's more here for you. Come and follow me. And they did it. I mean, the command to Peter and Andrew and James and John, it wasn't, I wonder if you would consider possibly tagging along with me, if you have the time, if it's not too inconvenient. It wasn't that, no. There's such a firmness, an authority, right, in this call. And do you hear that authority inside you? You have been given gifts, abilities, strengths. You have placed on your heart a commitment to this church. Is that growing stale? Or is something being asked of you, something great inside of you, something that may have been working on you maybe the past few months, even the past few days somehow? What would it be? The disciples saw Jesus as embodying God in a new way. And do we see Jesus embodying God in a new way today in our own lives? Do we hear him? Do we need to hear him? If it wasn't true that they saw Jesus embodying a new way of God being present, well, you know, would we even have this account that we have for us today? I mean, would that invitation have even gotten into their hearts? I'm reminded of this old Peanut comic strip. Charles Schulz, he was a theologian when he wrote the comic strip. And I remember the one where Charlie Brown is pictured. He's standing, he's barking out at Sally, "Believe in me." And she just walks by, not giving him the time of day. And then all of a sudden he's standing there barking out, "Believe in me." And Snoopy, you know, Snoopy just walks by, oblivious to what's going on. Finally, Charlie Brown runs after Lucy and says, "Believe in me." He shouts it at the top of his lungs. She just can't get away from him fast enough. And then finally we see Charlie Brown sitting on the sidewalk, head in hands, muttering to himself in frustration, "I just can't get people to believe in me." There was something different about Jesus' call. Come, follow me. There was something about Jesus embodying God in a new way. I love what Reverend Stephanie Spellers points out. She says this, "Just look at Jesus, the clear embodiment of God with us. With so many people have flipped their lives inside out, literally dropped their nets for a really good teacher, an entertaining speaker. Would the religious and political authorities have been so dead set on shutting this brother down if he was merely a good organizer or a wannabe messiah? This Jesus asked people to take their lives to a new level, His call to the disciples, I am calling you to be fishers of people. What is that call for you? How are you being called to be fishers of people? There was once a sign that an employee put up at work in the lunchroom, and this obviously was a very frustrated employee. And the sign said this: always give 100%. 12% Monday, 23% Tuesday, 40% Wednesday, 20% Thursday, 5% Friday. What about the daily 100% that Jesus asks of you, of all of us, of all of us? We may not feel ready for it, but that doesn't preclude the fact that God is ready and waiting for us. Meaningful fable. First learned about it from the writing of Frederick Buechner's. And it really, I think, speaks to how we see ourselves, within a church context, and how we see ourselves in our personal lives, and how we see ourselves as citizens, how we see ourselves. There once was a motherless tiger cub. This tiger cub was adopted by goats, brought up by them to speak their language, emulate their ways, eat their food, and in general to believe that he was a goat himself. Then one day, a king tiger came along, and when all the goats scattered in fear, the young tiger was left alone to confront him, afraid, but somehow not afraid. The king tiger asked him what he meant. What did you mean, tiger cub, with this unseemly masquerade that you are putting on? And all the young one could do was bleat nervously, continue nibbling on the grass. So the king tiger carried him to a pool of water and forced him to look at their reflections in that pool of water side by side. Well, he was to draw his own conclusions, this tiger cub, but he really didn't understand what was going on, didn't understand what it meant. This whole thing failed. Then King Tiger offered him his first piece of raw meat. At first, the young tiger recoiled from the unfamiliar taste of it, but then as he ate more and more, he began to feel it warming his blood. The truth gradually became clear to him. And so, lashing his tail, digging his claws into the ground, the young beast finally raised his head high, and the jungle trembled at the sound of his exultant roar. With great insight, Buechner offers this interpretation of the fable. Human beings, as they usually exist in this world, are not what they were created to be. Fortunately or unfortunately, there's still enough of the tiger in us to make us discontented with our goathood. We eat grass, but never it really fills us. We bleat well enough, but deep down there's the suspicion that we were really made for roaring. The call of the disciples reminds me of a wonderful prayer I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I would like to share it with you. You might say the disciples, they were discontented with their goathood because they were really, in their hearts, they really knew that they were made for roaring. And think about how much this prayer may speak to you. It's by Father Louis Joseph Liebert. Oh God, send us fools who offer themselves wholly, who let go, who love without words, who give themselves truly and to the end. We need fools, the unreasonable, the passionate, who can leap into insecurity, into every yawning gulf of poverty. We need fools for now, enchanted by the simple life, loving peace, cleansed of compromise, firm against betrayal, heedless of their own lives, ready to undertake anything, to go anywhere, at the same time obedient, spontaneous, and decided, gentle and strong. Oh God, send us fools. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, empty our hearts of all ego, of all that gets in the way of your call to us, of all that seems so important and so much a priority, because we know that if we seek first you and your kingdom, we will have a life filled with joy, filled with abundance in ways that are so intangible, but in ways that speak of love. Guide and direct us, we pray, as we seek to hear your call through Jesus, and not only hear it, but bring it inside of us in a way that we can then express who we are to others in life-changing ways. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.